This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. I call the Senate Committee on Appropriations to order this morning. We have a couple of bills on our agenda, and we also have a couple other tricks up our sleeve today. So we're going to get started. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Nesva.
Aye.
White.
Here.
Sutton.
Aye.
Partridge.
Here.
Lake. Colbeck?
Here.
Greenfield?
Yeah.
Maher?
Here.
Wick?
Here.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum. So with that, we have a page here today. Could you come up to a microphone, either one, whatever works best for you, and identify yourself, tell us who you are, where you're from, where you're going, if you know it.
My name is Caden Bundy. I'm from Garrettson, South Dakota, and I plan to go to SDSU and major in ag business.
All right. Way to go. Thank you very much. Appreciate all your help. Appreciate you being here. Well, we do have two items on our agenda today. And I believe at this time, I would wish to invoke Rule 7-1.5, consideration of matters not posted. We would need a two-thirds majority vote of the committee members present to bring up a matter for consideration at any time, and the matter I wish to consider would be House Bill 1110, delivered to us just too late to get on the agenda for today's meeting. So with that, Madam Secretary, would you call the roll on the 7.15 vote?
Nesva?
Aye.
White?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Partridge?
Aye.
Lake is excused. Colbeck?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Wick?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 8 yeas, 1 excused.
It is unanimous. We have invoked Rule 7-1.5, consideration of matters not posted. So with that, I wish to move House Bill 1110 to the top of our hearing today, and I'm looking for proponent testimony on House Bill 1110. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Representative Olson from District 34. I'm here to discuss House Bill 1110. So, as many of you are familiar, when you get the annual report for GOAC, it's the large red book, and each of the departments reports differently right now. So what this allows, and you have that as a handout, this is something that's been worked on or discussed for about 7 years. But unfortunately, it does take a law to implement this. So that's the change you'll see in there that compels each department to use uniform reporting. But more importantly, it allows GOAC to determine what template they would use. And it doesn't dictate what the departments have to report, but just more as a best business practice, it asks them to report it in a uniform way. So that red book that you get that's 100 pages and you have to turn it all different directions, this time you get uniform reporting. This is pretty standard in other industries. If you distribute money and funds, you ask that it's reported back how it was done. And most importantly, it allows us to really have more transparency on fiscal impact. So not only measurable outcomes, because you're giving them a structure to do that, but you see what they've done with that money. So that's my testimony, and I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative. Are there any other proponents for House Bill 1110? Any other proponents for House Bill 1110? Seeing no additional proponents, are there any opponents for House Bill 1110? Any opponents? Seeing no opponents, we'll waive rebuttal and move directly to committee questions. Questions of the committee regarding House Bill 1110. Any questions of the committee? Seeing no questions of the committee, we'll move it to committee we'll close public testimony and move it to committee discussion and or action. Senator Partridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move due pass on House Bill 1110.
Second.
We have a due pass motion by Senator Partridge, seconded by Senator Colbeck, comments on that motion. Senator Partridge.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this bill actually is a means by which to try to represent some conformity and some uniformity of reporting, which I believe will facilitate both us and the public related to what GOAC produces. So I'd encourage a favorable consideration from the committee, and thank the good representative for bringing it forward.
Thank you, Senator Partridge. Any additional comments on the do pass motion, say, from the chair of Senate GOAC?
You know, I've worked with Representative Olson on this, and she brings up a very valid point as you're going through that book that we have every year, and I think it does standardize the process. And we'll give it a whirl and see if it works and what the response is, and if it doesn't work in a couple years, we can scrap it and try something else.
All right. Any additional comments on the do pass motion made by Senator Partridge and seconded by Senator Colbeck? Any additional comments? Seeing none, we have a do pass motion for House Bill 1110 made by Senator Partridge, seconded by Senator Colbeck. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Nessebar?
Aye.
White?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Partridge?
Aye.
Lake?
Aye.
Colbeck?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Wick?
Aye.
It's unanimous.
It is unanimous. And I believe as the chairman, I get to so rarely to do this that I don't have the absolute proper verbiage, but I believe we can certify that there was absolutely no opposition testimony, and this can be considered a consent calendar bill. Without objection, it shall move to the floor on the consent calendar on House Bill 1110. Thank you, Representative. It moves to consent. House Bill 1172 is next on our agenda, I believe. If not, it will be. House Bill 1172 require the annual submission of a zero-based budget from certain departments or budget units. Looking for proponent testimony on House Bill 1172. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, committee members. Great to see all of you again. So House Bill 1172 is a bill that makes a minor change to South Dakota Codified Law 4-7-52. Instead of saying the JCA may request a department or budget unit be zero-based, we would annually require between one and three departments or budget units do this. According to Investopedia.com, zero-based budgeting is a method of budgeting in which all expenses must be justified for each new period. The process of zero-based budgeting starts from a zero base, and every function within an organization is analyzed for its needs and costs. With zero-based budgeting, you do build your budget from scratch, with zero being your base. Every expense has to be justified. Some of the benefits of zero-based budgeting include it uncovers waste in the budget. It can lead to increased efficiencies if it's used correctly. As you're building the budget, you should be analyzing each line item to see if there are ways to save money. This body has become very ardent fans of the lean process. I like to refer to this as lean for budgeting. It ensures funds are used where they are needed. It right-sizes the budget every time. South Dakota currently uses primarily the incremental method of budgeting. We start the next year's budget with the previous year's budget as our base. Incremental budgeting often leads to the use it or lose it mentality. I saw that when I was active duty military. My husband still sees it. Anyone you speak to who's involved in the government will say there's a use it or lose it mentality. This would help alleviate that. Currently, 12 states use zero-based or a modified version of zero-based budgeting as a secondary approach, and that's what we would do as well. It's important to realize we're not breaking new ground here, and LRC as well as BFM would be able to reach out to these other states to see how they implement zero-based budgeting. We're not reinventing the wheel here. The statute we currently have has been on the books since 2015, but it replaced a much lengthier, more in-depth statute that's been on the books since the 1970s. Zero-based budgeting is not a new concept. It's a tool in our toolbox that I believe we should be using. I received an email from someone, He's not a constituent of mine, but he did the budgeting for one of our largest employers in the state. And for his sake, I'm not going to name who he works for. But he fully supported this, and he says he's totally in support of a zero-based budget process for departments that receive South Dakota State appropriated funding. Yes, it can be challenging and time-consuming for department leaders, but the rewards of greater accountability are worth it. One example of another state that has implemented zero-based budgeting, one of the 12 that I mentioned earlier, is Georgia. They do have roughly 10 times our population, 8.56 million. And every year on their website, if you'd like to check it out, going back at least to 2013, you can read their Office of Planning and Budget's zero-based budget reports. The most recent report shows that they zero-based 10% of all budgetary programs. The year prior to that, they zero-based 13% of all budgetary programs. I'm asking that we zero-base one to three, so it could just be one, department or budget units. And to put that in perspective, we have over 190 budget units. So even if we did the max of three, it would just be 1.5%. It has also recently come to my attention that the city of Mitchell zero bases their budget. So that's someone in the state that we could reach out to. And their budget surely would be larger than most of our, you know, if we just did a budget unit. So I'm going to end my testimony and I'll stand by for further questions, but I'm going to end it with a Reagan quote that I do think is apt for this discussion. And he was the one who said, trust but verify. We do trust that our agencies are making wise use of the dollars that we allocate to them, but it is our duty to verify it. So I humbly ask for your yes vote on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Looking for further proponent testimony on House Bill 1172. Good morning, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and distinguished members of the Senate. I'm glad to be here today. I am in support of 1172 and Representative Howard's concept. Did you have a question? No.
Well, I was just wondering if you were getting around to introducing yourself.
I will.
We're kind of tough about that.
I am Carl Perry, and I'm from District 3. I'm a representative, and District 3 is Brown County. The city I live in is Aberdeen, and I will give you some information just to add a half a deal of credibility to what I have to say, and that is there's a book out called Good to Great. I don't know if you've ever read it, but it's Jim Collins that put it out. He did it in October of 2001. And they looked at 1,435 good companies, and they looked at all their different experiences over a 40-year period of time. And they actually had the cream race to the top, and they ended up with 11 companies that became great. And of those, I've had the opportunity to work for three, Philip Morris USA, which is now Altria, Pitney Bowes, and Wells Fargo. And I worked in management with all three of those companies. And that doesn't make me an expert on budgeting, but it makes me a person that's been familiar with several different areas of budgeting. I've had between 25 and 600 employees that I've worked with. And so that is another area that I think is important. I spent the last 32 years before I retired with Almond Collection Service, Wells Fargo, and Progressive Financial Services, and all three were in the collection education business. And I know that we're talking about zero-based budgeting, probably versus ongoing budgeting or versus the incremental budgeting. And I'm not here to say that any of those are not good. What I'm going to do is just kind of hit on some of the highlights of what zero-based budgeting is that I think are good. That zero-based budgeting will help you with planning, forecasting, modeling, infrastructure. There's been decades of time that have been into zero-based budgeting, looking at different areas, efficient allocation of resources, you know, based on the needs and benefits of the company. It looks at change, and it focuses us on operations, lower costs, and it has a disciplined execution with it. And the problem with never, ever considering zero-based budgeting is you don't know what you're missing. And so there are costs involved, but there are unintended consequences. And one of the things that happens sometimes in business is there's a little bit of confusion. And doing nothing is doing something, but I do have a couple more things to add. And that's when you're doing small business budgeting, you know, you're tallying income sources, how much is coming in, where's it coming from. You're looking at fixed costs. You're looking at variable expenses. You're looking at one-time expenditures. You're looking at multiple-time expenditures. You're putting it all together. There are other ways of budgeting, and that's through Six Sigma. And Senator White would probably be able to tell you that Wells Fargo was a Six Sigma fan, and very complicated budgeting process, and very complicated. But, you know, it's a structured method for performance metrics with an aim of achieving strategic objectives. I think zero-based budgeting is a little easier, and it's a process to build a sustainable culture of cost management. It's not cutting to the bone. You know, sometimes that's what people think a person's trying to do when they introduce a new product or a new idea. Oh, they want to cut to the bone. But really what they're trying to do is look at the top-down items that need to be done, the targets that need to be accomplished, to make sure that the budgets that are out there are things that need to be done. There needs to be a collaborative effort by the entire team to enhance a business. And I think in this particular bill that they're looking at only doing three areas in the state government, so it's not like a huge number. But costs include capital expenditures, operating expenditures, expenses, sales, general and administration costs, marketing costs, variable distribution costs, cost of producing the items, producing the generation of sales, governance, accountability, visibility, you know, assigned incentives, and comprehensive evaluations. What this does is it helps with growth as it reallocates, you know, unproductive costs to more productive areas. And it doesn't really eliminate things. What it does is makes us think about the things that we're spending and how we're spending them. Zero-based budget is a tool, and zero-based budget is not a slash-and-burn item. It's more like a doctor that's a surgeon. It's cutting the fat and building the muscle and making things right. And when Representative Howard asked me if I would be willing to talk on this, I said I'd be more than happy to, and I had talked on it on the floor. I think it's something that we should consider, and that's the reason I talked about it on the floor, and that's the reason I'm here today. Thank you very much, and if you do have questions, hopefully you ask Taffy, because she is the one that's bringing the bill, but I'd be happy to answer any questions if you would like. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Looking for additional proponent testimony on House Bill 1172.
Morning, Mr. Chair. And
good morning, Senator.
Members of Senate Appropriations, and welcome to a great day in the state of South Dakota. I'm here to talk a little bit about House Bill 1172. I'm going to give you more of a personal experience, a little bit of a talk on zero-based budgeting. Not bring in any technicality, but just bring a little bit to information to the listeners that are listening today and those in the gallery behind me. Zero-based budgeting is a way of budgeting where your income minus your expenses equals zero. With a zero-based budget, you have to make sure your expenses match your income during that period of time, which we'll talk about being 1 year. That way you're given every dollar that's coming in a job to do. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have $0 in your bank account. It just means your income minus your expenses need to equal zero. Pretty simple, right? Basically, it's just a plan for spending your money. Let's say you earn $3,000 a month. Everything you spend, save, give, or invest should add up to $3,000. That way you know exactly where you end at the end with every one of your hard-earned dollars, where every one of your hard-earned dollars is going. You could be setting yourself up for disaster if you don't know where your money is going each year. It's fun to look back one day and find that you have no, it's not fun, it's no fun to look back one day and find out you have no money and no clue where it all went. That's why I'm a proponent for zero-based budgeting, and I would ask for your consideration on 1172. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Looking for additional proponent testimony on House Bill 1172. Proponent testimony on House Bill 1172. Seeing no additional proponents, let's look for opponent testimony on House Bill 1172.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Derek Johnson representing the Bureau of Finance and Management, asking you today to please oppose House Bill 1172. House Bill 1172 requires the Joint Committee on Appropriations to request 1 to 3 zero-based budget scenarios annually. This bill restricts JCA's authority by requiring them to request 1 to 3 zero-based budgets. Currently, JCA can request as many zero-based budgets as they wish. What if JCA wishes to request 5 zero-based budgets? What if JCA wishes to request 0? This bill limits your authority to request zero-based budgets as you see fit and is therefore unnecessary. Further, zero-based budgeting will not have the desired effect in many, many budget areas. For example, looking at a massive agency, we make a lot of projections and assumptions for things that are unpredictable. These unpredictable expenses are not things like contracts and travel. These are things like grants to providers for services provided, or federal grants that may or may not be received. Zero-based budgeting would force agencies to budget for worst-case scenarios and would increase budgets in some areas. This is in addition to the resource-intensive and costly process of zero-basing these areas of a budget. Another example I would use is personal services. In the vast majority of agencies, when we budget for personal services, we typically budget for 5% above the minimum salary for a respective position, and then we add benefits. We do not budget for additional duties. We do not budget for retirement payouts. We do not budget for longevity. Two of the divisions in the Bureau of Finance and Management have more than 30% of their employees eligible for retirement in the next 5 years. We are not budgeted for these large retirement payouts. If or when these folks retire, we will have to hold that position or other positions open for a period of time in order to make things work. Or we may have to look at other ways to make that payment, such as a budget transfer. Zero-basing personal services budgets will often increase budgets. What if there was an agency that was zero-basing their personal services budget? They take all of their current employee salaries. They account for any possible promotions. They account for possible retirements. They account for longevity payouts. They account for training. The result is likely going to be a reversion of funds due to vacancy and turnover. State agencies use many different budgeting techniques, including incremental budgeting, formula-based budgeting, actuaries, regression analysis, and zero-based budgeting. In closing, JCA already has the authority to request zero-based budgets where they see fit. This bill is not needed. I would ask you to please oppose House Bill 1172. Thank you, and I will stand by for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any additional opponent testimony on House Bill 1172? Any additional opponents? Seeing none, we'll offer a brief rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Taffy Howard, District 33. And I will be brief in my rebuttal, but it was interesting that that opposition got quite a bit longer from the first time it was in committee. I would say this does not restrict our authority. It exercises our authority. So this would require that we would zero base between 1 and 3 departments. And I'm going to point out, the opposition can point out certainly areas where it may not be the absolute best, but that's why we have BFM and LRC that together would come up with the guidelines for implementing this. So together they can figure out what works and what doesn't work. There is no set way to do this, and I trust that we have the best minds that can come together and work out what would be the best way to implement this in state government. What would happen, though, is we would not have situations happen that happened a few years ago where we had an agency that had excess funds at the end of the year, and the budget person was told to go out and buy all new flat-screen TVs. That was not in their budget. They didn't need new flat-screen TVs, but they had the money, and they didn't want to revert it. If we had come back the next year and zero-based their budget, that would have been discovered, and we would have known that that was excess funds in their budget that they didn't need, so we could have taken those funds out going forward. So there is a place for zero-based budgeting. According to Accenture 2018 study, since 2013, zero-based budgeting has exponentially grown by 57% every year. Some of the companies who have embraced this include Campbell Soup Company, Kellogg Company, and Ford Motor Company. Speaking to an accountant friend of mine who, you know, this is the busiest time of year for accountants, so I could not get an accountant to come to Pierre to testify for this. But, you know, I was speaking to him about zero-based budgeting, and he said, this is definitely something that is good for businesses to do, and it would be even better for government agencies to do it, because even more so, government tends to get some of that waste built in. It's just reality. And I'm not saying that any agency is doing that on purpose necessarily. I'm simply saying, why not use the tools at our disposal to ensure that we're as lean and trim as we can be? And I'm going to end with a quote from a fellow state senator that I thought was very, very, I love this. So you just said it just a few minutes ago, Senator Maher, if it doesn't work, we can scrap it and try something else. So on the previous bill, I like that quote. So I'll leave you with that and ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Howard. Looking for committee questions. Questions of the committee on House Bill 1172. Senator Nesiba.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman Wick. Just a question for the prime sponsor. We spend so much time together in 362, and here we are in another room. Have you approached the Joint Committee on Appropriations? We already have the ability to do this on a discretionary basis. And how would you characterize those conversations if you have had those?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, please.
Thank you. This has been approached in JCA. You know, this is my fourth year here. I think it was the end of my first year going into my second year that I became aware of what this was, and that I thought this would be a fantastic thing to do. So I approached it talking to other members. It didn't seem like it was very favorably received at that time. So then last year, though, I did bring a letter of intent, and we were one vote shy of passing that letter of intent in JCA. The reason I decided to bring this legislatively is to have more legislative input. So as you know, it did pass the House. So the majority of House members are in favor of us using this tool that's in our toolbox. And that was the reason it was brought legislatively, was to get more input, to hear from other members, because sometimes in appropriations, we do get focused and we're very extremely busy. So sometimes we don't have the time to talk to fellow members as much as we'd like and get their input. So thank you.
All right. Answer your question. Thank you very much. Any additional questions of the committee on House Bill 1172? Senator Sutton.
I don't have a question, but just a comment. I definitely agree with zero-based budgeting, and it does work hand-in-hand with lean. It is a tool, but a key factor in lean is for the agency to own the process they're changing. I do not support this bill. And I do not believe that zero-based budgeting needs to be enforced through a bill. With the Lean Initiative, zero-based budgeting can be incorporated with the cooperative effort of the agency.
Thank you, Senator Sutton. Any additional questions of the committee on House Bill 1172?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Partridge.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. For the prime sponsor, please. Representative, you talked about zero-based in the definition thereof in your testimony with, I believe it was from Investopedia that had that definition, and talked about all expenses need to be justified. What I'd like to do is ask you about kind of what your definition or thoughts are on that word. justified. And then further down the road, you said something along the lines of analyzing each line item. And so I just thought, I just kind of highlighted those two words, justified and analyzed, and thought I would just ask for your commentary on both of those words, if you could, please.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, please.
Thank you for the question. Justified in this case to me would be you're looking at each line item. Let's say it's for new equipment. You know, what did you, so you're going to look at what you, you're going to start at zero, and you're going to justify, you're going to legitimize, you're going to certify that that is necessary for every expenditure that you put into that budget for that next year. So, for instance, going back to the TVs, you know, the example that I used, if they were zero basing, they would go back and see that we aren't going to buy new TVs this year. So, okay, we're going to start at zero. Do we need to add in as much as we added in last year? Because this is what we spent last year. This is what we bought. Okay, but we ended up having extra money and we bought TVs. We aren't going to need that this year, so we can reduce our budget by that much going forward. So, and analyzing, studying, looking at it in depth, evaluating it, you know, just certifying that every expenditure is necessary going forward. Does that help?
Yep. And a follow-up, if I could, Mr. Chair.
Follow-up.
Thank you. You used the word evaluate in that last part, which I like, because I'm just wanting to ask, how does zero-based budgeting compare to program evaluation that we're doing in appropriations? What would you, do you see the two tied, or do you see them being that there'd be potentially three different departments for zero-based and three different departments for program evaluation, or would they be kind of looped together?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, please.
I think it would be phenomenal if we would tie them together and do zero basing on the programs that we're evaluating. And I will say again, I've said before, LRC does a fantastic job on our program evaluations. And if we could bring in the budget element of that, and I think that would be just phenomenal and give us a whole picture.
All right. Questions answered. Thank you. Any additional questions of the committee on House Bill 1172?
I have one more, actually.
You do have one more?
For Mr. Perry, if I could, please.
Okay. Mr. Perry, please come on forward. Go ahead with your question, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You said something along the lines of planning and forecasting and talking about how zero-based budget can help with planning and forecasting. I don't know if you have the answer to this question, but I just would be curious how you'd overlay maybe some of your experience with what we do in revenue estimates. The Subcommittee on Appropriations puts together a revenue estimate that we vote on and then agree on as a subcommittee and then vote on as a full appropriations committee for the revenue. Do you think that zero-based budgeting in any of the areas that apply to our revenue estimate, you know, from general funds, would it help at all? And do you have any commentary on how planning and forecasting is tied to how zero-based budgeting would help planning and forecasting, specifically in revenue estimates?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Representative, thank you.
Thank you for that tough question. I think that there are people that are paid a lot of money to do the answers to those questions, but forecasting, modeling, infrastructure, all of these things are all part of the total package, and when you have a group of people that you're an administrator for or you work with, I trust that the people that are doing that with the state of South Dakota are doing a great job. But sometimes it's good for us to look at something different, and that's where the zero-based budgeting idea is a good idea. I don't think that we'd want to do that with all areas of government all at one time. I think it would probably be more destructive or disruptive than it would be beneficial, but if we're looking at doing this for 1 to 3 areas, and I know that the rebuttal, or not the rebuttal, but the opponent said that we could do that now, but the point that the representative is making is that we aren't, and so this would be a way to implement it, and if we think that 3 is too many, 1 is a start. So I hope that answers your question, but with planning, you know, doing nothing is a plan. But when we get people together with a zero-based budget, what I used to do with one of my teams is I'd say, like on the client service, I'd say, Karen, you have 14 people working in this area. I'm not looking to end any employment. What I'm looking for is, are we doing the best thing with these people? Is there something else they could be doing that's more productive? Or should you have more people here in order to get the job done correctly? And we would do a zero-based budget on just that portion of our company. And that would give us a chance to see what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, and how we can improve. And a lot of times we would add people to an organization or to our group, or we may take someone out of that group and move somewhere else where we think that the productivity would be greater for the company. We wanted to make money. That was our intent. And we ended up being bought with Almond Collection Service by Wells Fargo, and they definitely didn't want us with the idea of us losing money or doing things that didn't make sense. So we did everything we could to be profitable, productive, and to have efficiencies. Does that answer your question?
Thank you. Thank you, Representative. Any other questions of the committee on House Bill 1172? Seeing no questions of the committee, we will close public testimony and move to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1172. Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that we defer House Bill 1172 to the 41st legislative day.
Is there a second to the Greenfield motion? We have a motion by Senator Greenfield, seconded by Senator Sutton, to move House Bill 1172 to the 41st legislative day. Comments on that motion, Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you know, as somebody who's been on appropriations for 10 years, I understand the importance of being frugal and also the tool that's already available to us as we are allowed by this very statute to request from any department or budget unit that they submit a zero-based budget. This changes the may to a shall. And then it confines us to 1 to 3 budget units, which, as was testified to in opponent testimony, may limit the scope of any zero-based budget request that we would like to undertake. Talked about using this tool. I heard that a few times, and I would submit to you that we already can use this tool, as is stipulated in law. One of the definitions of zero-based budgeting is taking income minus expenses and seeing that that equals zero. That is the balanced budget that we're required to submit on an annual basis as a legislative body, and we certainly don't want we don't want to be spendthrifts with people's money. We want to be good stewards of that money, but we recognize that at the end of the day, our numbers must balance, and we do require that or request that of our departments as they come forward. The lean methodology has been spoken to already here. I had written that down because I wanted to highlight that. One other thing that I thought of in contemplating this is that they liked what I was saying.
I think that's the siren on the time.
The toot. Okay, well, let me just say this. There was a time at which we did a sunset. We had a sunset process by which we said that all departments of the state have to come forward and justify their existence. And if they couldn't do so, they would be sunsetted, that they'd be done away with. Over the years, we took each one, put them under the microscope, and in the end, we didn't do anything relative to sunsetting them. But what I was thinking about is, if we do this, we're essentially going to establish a rotation. You're going to take up 1 to 3 each year, and you're going to say, well, we already required 3 years ago of zero-based budget from them, so let's move on to somebody else. And I don't think that is necessarily a good management practice either. So while I very much appreciate the thoughts behind this, and I thank the representative and the senator, the representatives and the senator who spoke in favor of this. I think we have the tool at our disposal, and I don't think the bill is necessary. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Greenfield. Any additional comments on the 41st day motion? Seeing none, we have a motion to send House Bill 1172 to the 41st legislative day, made by Senator Greenfield, seconded by Senator Sutton. That will effectively kill the bill. For all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, say no. Madam Secretary, could you please call the roll?
Nesaba?
Pass.
White?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Partridge?
Aye.
Lake?
Aye.
Colbeck?
No.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Wick?
I'm going to wait.
Nesaba?
Aye.
Wick?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, the vote is 8 yeas, 1 nay.
With a vote of 8 yeas, 1 nay, House Bill 1172 moves to the 41st legislative day. Next on our agenda today is Senate Bill 118. Senate Bill 118 revise certain educational programs and promote efficiency in state government and make an appropriation therefore. Looking for proponents of Senate Bill 118. Yes, you can testify from the stand here, Senator Partridge.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would encourage the committee to take a look at this this bill. I think it's a good bill for the state of South Dakota. I think it makes South Dakota great again, and I would encourage your favorable consideration of Senate Bill 118.
Any additional proponents on Senate Bill 118?
And that was Jeff Partridge, District 34.
Thank you for clearing that up, Senator Partridge. Any additional proponents on Senate Bill 118? Seeing none, looking for opponents, Senate Bill 118. Seeing no opponent testimony, we have an opportunity for committee questions. Seeing no questions of the committee, we'll open to committee discussion and or action on Senate Bill 118.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move to pass on Senate Bill 118.
We have a motion by Senator Maher, seconded by Senator White, do pass on Senate Bill 118. Comments on that motion? None. All those in favor of the do pass motion for Senate Bill 118, revise certain educational programs and promote efficiency in state government and to make an appropriation therefore. Motion made by Senator Maher, seconded by Senator White. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, say no. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Nesaba?
No.
White?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Partridge?
Aye.
Lake?
Aye.
Colbeck?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Wick?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, we have 8 yeas, 1 nay.
Well, that removes it from consent calendar certification there, doesn't it? Well, with a positive vote of 8 yeas, 1 nay, Senate Bill 118 moves to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Any minutes? Anything else for the good of the committee? Personal privileges?
Second.
We have a motion by Senator Maher to adjourn, seconded by Senator Colbeck. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. We're adjourned. Thank you very much.